The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, the RNC MKE Day 4 Dom. Thursday, Trump's big day.
The last day, thankfully. RIP, RNC MKE 2024.
Yeah, we're going to put a bow on it today.
I prefer a cigarette out on it, but either way works. It's going to be over tonight.
Now, last night, you took your first opportunity to go up to the RNC Green Zone Security Zone campus. What'd you think of your experience?
I must be getting cynical in my old age.
Getting cynical?
I mean, been there, done that. There's the pop and circumstance, whatever. Walk in, it's very, very controlled. I got to see the felon himself. Is he a felon? Recently released from prison, Peter Navarro, very passionate.
That's a misdemeanor.
Very passionate up on the stage. Apparently just got out of jail.
Yeah, we saw some of the Navarro speech. And
out on bail.
It seemed like it went really long for a convention speech. Like, they could not gag him. Eventually, they had to send Mrs. Navarro up there to drag his ass off the
stage. Big, long kiss, like he's been in prison for 4 months. So I got to see, that was a very weird speech. We do have some sound.
Apparently he came straight to Milwaukee from prison. No conjugal visit or anything for the man.
We do have some sound from that. So that was, fortuitous timing. And then some random folks. Some observations as a media guy.
Yeah.
As you walk around the forum, many televisions all over the place, none of them had on the closed captioning. On top of that, they weren't feeding any of the audio from the bowl from inside the room.
Not like a Packer game where you go to the bathroom and you hear the
You can hear it, you can hear it, you can see it. Yeah. And if you're not going to do that because people want to talk and whatever, you don't want to perhaps, blow in people's ears off, well, then you put on the closed caption so people can, at least while they're standing in line for whatever the case is, see what the folks are saying.
I'm shocked they didn't play us in the bowl.
So from a production standpoint, it seemed kind of bush league. Navarro, an odd cat coming just out of jail, which is interesting for the Law and Order Party. But yeah, man, didn't take much. Had to check out the radio spot where our folks and our crew over at Civic Media were sitting, and then in and out, man. I was not impressed, and I was a little turned off by the production.
Now, Radio Row at the Pfizer Forum, the radio professionals are pretty much behind the stage. I mean, they got like an angle kind of, sort of, where they can see the speaker, but they're really up in the rafters in a terrible spot. But that is not the only place here at the RNC where they're accommodating radio, because right-wing talk radio, that's a thing, Dom. So today, I went back on campus, and I went and visited our colleagues in Righty Whitey MAGA Broadcast.
So this was in a different building.
I went to the Panther Arena. And that's actually where Todd Alba from Civic Media has been broadcasting. Saw Todd over there. Saw Terry Bell, the news director of Civic Media over there, apparently doing their work today in the midday
long
show.
Long days, fellas. Well done.
But I did see a few notables. First on the walk over, Congressman Tom Tiffany from the great state of Wisconsin.
Toxic Tom? You saw Tom?
Toxic Tom. I shook his hand. I talked to Tom. Tom is country club cordial, as so many Republicans are, meaning simply, they're friendly on the curbside. You know, they'll if you greet them with a smile, oh, hey, yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah, call my staffer, Sherry, and we'll get back on the show.
Come on. It reminds me, we talked to, former Congressman Reed Ribble yesterday.
A
Republican.
And we should tell people we've got former Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott McCallum at 420 and our friend at Labor and broadcast Rick Smith at 430. So, packed hour.
And we talked about being Wisconsin nice. And sometimes, to my impression, you go out to, New York and all, they're so rude. But they tell you what they're thinking. They're kind of like you, Crudy. There's no filter. Wisconsin nice is like, well, they'll be nice to your face, but they'll say some stuff behind your back.
Oh, I'll say it to your face.
See, this is what I'm saying. So Tom Tiffany, the congressman, Toxic Tom, did he recognize you? Do you know who you were, Michael?
Tom seemingly did. But like I said, country club cordial, you fake it if you don't remember the guy or the person. And then immediately I went into the Panther Arena and I saw another congressman. And, technically at our lake house, I live in CD number 6. That's Glenn Grothman's congressional district. And Glenn was actually coming over to speak to Dan O'Donnell, Righty Whitey Talk radio host. I'm like, Glenn, we're busy here. A couple of colleagues in broadcast catching up. Wait your turn, Congressman. I kind of did that to him. And then later I felt a little bad, so I followed him out in the hallway. Congressman, how you been? Why aren't you coming on the show? And so anyways, I made sure. And
Wouldn't you have to invite him for having come on the show?
Well, I pulled out the phone and I showed him. I still list you as Senator Glenn Grothman because you haven't been on the show since you were a state senator, Glenn.
Long time, man.
I said, I introduced you to my daughter at the airport, Glenn. If I wished you harm, Glenn, I've had multiple opportunities. I see you right now. We're right here. No one's even looking at us. So I said, Glenn, come back on the show. You can come back on the show. I said, it's all right. We'll play mostly nice. We'll pretend it's the 1960s. And I told him that Ron Johnson used to come on the show quite a bit. And I said, it's always been our goal to have a beer with guys like you, guys like Ron Johnson. I said, Ron used to bring 2 6-packs, not always, but consistently, 1 6-pack of Miller Lite and 1 6-pack of Spotted Cow. And he would always drink 2 Miller Lites and then he'd cut himself off and he'd be done.
Right.
And he would be country club cordial. I said, so, Glenn, when are you coming back on the show? Yeah. And he says to me, I don't know about drinking beers with you guys. I said, Glenn, I tell you what, just bring a loose joint. And I punched him in the shoulder. I said, see you later, Congressman. And I walked away. But at least he won't forget me tonight, huh?
No. Those who meet you, Crudy, rarely forget you.
And, I was also a little bit surprised to see, not surprised to see, because he's a right-wing talk radio host. And speaking of, Lou Dobbs apparently has passed. Mm. Does that get Fox News out of any of their defamation lawsuits?
I think the lawsuits survived the death of a person, real estate transactions.
CNN. Let's not go there. CNN is breaking that Lou Dobbs, veteran news anchor, has passed. Of course, of CNN and Fox News fame. But I saw our buddy in Righty Whitey Talk Radio, colleague in the broadcast airwaves. He does, the right-wing version of what we do. Not as well, of course. Dan O'Donnell. And so anyways, he hit a commercial break, and he sees me. And he was warm and pleasant. Came running around the table to see. Big hug. Not even a man hug. Not even. No forearm. Full hug, and we hugged it out for a second. Not too long, because, I didn't want anyone to accuse Dan of being gay at an RNC
convention. Did you count 1001, 1002,
it 1000. Seemed like an appropriate short, brief hug, and then walk away, as real men do. And so anyways, Dan was pretty cool, all things considered, other than the fact we, kind of ignored Glenn Grothman. And we exchanged text messages so that we didn't have each other's cell phones. We're not that kind of friends.
But now we do.
And then we took selfies, Dom.
So I saw you throw them up on Facebook.
I got
you
a couple of selfies.
Your nemesis? Is he a nemesis, man? I'm not clear what.
He's a frenemy.
Your relationship with the dude.
He's a frenemy.
You've done some panels together, right, over the years. I mean, you've run into each other.
And he even threw the horns.
He threw the horns, man. Uh-oh.
So now I told him we should trade off and do each other's show occasionally. And he seemed pretty down for the idea. I told him I Done a couple of times on regular Joe's show, Joe Gigante up in Green Bay.
Haven't you called and trolled him? You know, Righty Whitey Talk Radio in general, just call him up on the line. And,
oh, I've called him before.
Yeah, Mike from Middleton.
Or Mike on a car
John
phone.
Barron from New York. I'm not sure.
Listener, first time caller.
Thanks for calling, John.
No, absolutely. I've trolled Dan on the air before. He probably knows that. I mean, I think.
Well, now he's got your number.
I think he would know. In fact, the last time I called his show, I was so damn good. He's like, have you done professional radio? Because he gave me 60 seconds and he gave me 30 seconds and I could speak to a clock. I did it. You know, I boom. Just
it's like you've done it before.
Like I've spoken in time increments and, you know, told a damn good story with lots of informative details. And boom, hit the post. And left Dan O'Donnell impressed because, you know, he's not as talented as I.
Any with the Congressman Grothman, any yes. comments on the going back to the 60s? I mean, didn't Gallagher do a movie? He's a stand-up, he died a while ago. He was a comedian. He used to smash the watermelon.
That guy.
Still stuck in the 60s.
Not Mike Gallagher, the former congressman from Green Bay, which was where my mind went, but yes. Smashed watermelons.
So he was stuck in the 60s. Glenn Grothman seemingly wants to go back to the 60s. Was that a topic of conversation at all when you into him today?
But what should have been a conversation, because Glenn was eating, like, Doritos out of a bag. You know, like, when I followed him up to the hallway, he was standing there by his lonesome.
Yep.
Sort of a gray beige suit, you know, classy. Classy, let me tell you. Talking about a 1960s, that fashion statement that was suit, 1962.
Hey, hang on to it, Glenn. Everything comes back around.
And so, anyways, Glenn is eating Doritos out of the bag. And then, you know how your hands get.
Yes.
You know, Cheetos, Doritos, you know how it gets. And then he felt it necessary to lick.
You just did it. I didn't need to see
that. The fingers.
So, did you shake his hand after that?
No, hell no. Did I not tell you? I told him he could come around. Didn't have to bring beer, but a loose joint. And then I gave him the old punch in the shoulder, which is my way of saying, I'm not shaking your hand, sir.
No, dude. That's a bad look.
What's that?
That's a bad look. Licking your fingers after eating Doritos in the media area.
Yeah, that's not Glenn's best look. Gray beige 1962 suit.
I mean, I'm not clear.
And Dorito dust
it
licked
is,
off
it
the
is
fingers.
Glenn. I'm not sure what the best look is.
Well, Mom's meatloaf gravy dripping down his chin, of
we
course.
Want it now, Mom. Confirmed bachelor, Congressman Glenn Grothman.
You know, I think the Coast Guard is, I think they're flying a little too close. But we've got a fine guest joining us next. He is former Republican governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Scott McCallum. Our friend in labor, Rick Smith, joins us at 4:30. You're going to stick around. Devils live on the road, RNC, MKE live above downtown Milwaukee. Helicopters overhead and Devils at the table.
The Devils Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show live in Milwaukee. RNC MKE 2024. Our pal, friend in labor, Rick Smith, is going to join us at the 4:30 break.
Dominic, we got a fine guest. He joins us right now live via phone. He is former Wisconsin Governor Republican Scott McCallum. Governor McCallum, welcome to the Devils Advocates Radio Show.
Devil himself.
Well, we both got a little devil in us, Governor. Thank you for joining
checking.
Us. Sorry, it's a little love. The Coast Guard keeps buzzing us on our rooftop perch here. But Governor McCallum, we are at the RNC, the Republican National Convention. As a former state governor, when was the last convention? Have you been to a few of the RNC, sir?
I have been to many of the RNC conventions. There are a lot of parties associated with them.
Well,
they're interesting. I'm past the stage where the evening life is not as enticing as it used to be as when I was in college.
Well, we were college roommates, sir, so we share a similar sensibility. Governor McCallum, this party has seemingly changed. You served in the early 2000s. The Republican Party, as they say, is not the Republican Party of my father's generation. Scott, what has changed?
Well, it's moved. Clearly, it's become part of a populist movement. But I will say, it's not just in the U.S. where it's become part of a populist movement, but you see a populist movement occurring worldwide. I mean, you see it in a number of other countries. A similar type of movement. In fact, you saw it in the EU, the European Union elections this time. So it's a movement that's taking place globally, and some of the leadership of the Republicans have glommed onto that and seem to be doing all right with it.
Governor, folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A persistent Coast Guard flyer overhead. We've got the former governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Scott McCallum, on the line. We apologize for the loudness and the distractions here,
no,
sir.
I thought the helicopter blew you off there for a minute. I was concerned.
Well, I'm weighted down sufficiently, and I'm holding on to Dominic. He's,
thank you.
Okay. Governor McCallum, the party of Trump, this party seemingly has a platform of one man, and we call him the Cheeto Messiah, or I occasionally moniker him that, sir. What is your opinion of a party that is really all about the platform of lifting one man?
Well, we'll see tonight if it's one man. Many are hoping that he will try to pull the country together, that that he's got a different attitude, that he's really concerned about working for the general public. So we'll see. I will say, even in the debate, I thought he was more subdued than his usual persona.
I'm sorry, Governor McCallum, I heard the debate at the end there. The assassination attempt on Donald Trump, obviously it was significant. It could have been tragic for the nation. We are sometimes concerned about the violent rhetoric, and we know it's sometimes on both sides, sir, but it often comes from Donald Trump as a candidate. Any concerns about this political environment turning into something worse?
And you're right, it does come from both sides, and I think it gets accelerated because everybody keeps responding and tries to up the game for it. And that's what you didn't hear or chose to ignore. I think you're choosing to ignore some of the things I say. Is this evening we will see what he intends to do. If he comes across as presidential, I think it'll be to his advantage. And it's become such a split society that people had been just campaigning to their base. But if he reaches out and calls for unification and does so in a more subdued tone, with an olive branch in hand, I think it might serve him well and serve the country well.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Former Wisconsin Governor Scott McCallum, a Republican, joining us for a couple more minutes. Thank you, Governor, for joining us. You mentioned the populism, and this is something that seemingly is going around, spreading around the world right now. I want to get your take on the authoritarianism part of this. It feels like a lot of the traditional Republican philosophies and stances and platforms have been kind of cast aside for a more authoritarianism kind of platform. What's your sense on that, Scott?
Well, I'll take a bigger perspective of what's happening to our republic and to democracy overall. We've slipped in global scales as a democratic republic compared to other countries. And that's of concern. Now, when you say populism, so I'm just so you know, I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan of both The Onion and The Babylon Bee. so take that as it is. I'm sorry, but it's I think there's an element of truth, but you can have fun with it at the same time. But as The Babylon Bee said, the Democrat approach seems to be we need to take democracy away and take rights away to be able to protect democracy, to prevent Trump from coming in and destroying democracy. And it's so I personally have a concern of what we've been doing in a number of different areas. The judiciary, even you attack institutions. our institutions, the judiciary, Congress, and the legislature are becoming less independent as bodies. The attacks on the police and law enforcement around the country, the decay of the military, these are all institutions.
Scott, what about, sorry to interrupt, Governor, we're almost out of time. What about the institutions of elections, especially here in the state of Wisconsin? Wanted to give you a minute to speak to that, sir.
Yeah, which is what I'm working on in a cross-partisan fashion of saying that we ought to have faith in the electoral process. If you lose faith, you know, if you've got a democracy or a republic and you don't have faith in the elections, you're really starting to lose a lot. So that's what I'm involved in now, is to make sure that people understand the system. And I will tell you, in Wisconsin, it's pretty tough to have it corrupt in this state. We've got 1/6 of all election day workers in the state of Wisconsin. 1/6 of the country, the workers,
wow,
are in Wisconsin. It's not run by one person. We've got 1,922 election workers, many volunteers, many part-time workers.
Former Governor Scott McCallum, so sorry to cut you short, sir. We'll invite you back real soon. We've got another fine guest joining us right now. He is our friend in labor and broadcast, Rick Smith. Devil's Advocates live at the RNC.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, the final day of the RNC and MKE 2024. Thank you to our most recent guest, a fine one, former Wisconsin Governor Scott McCallum. I almost put, we got a new guest waiting on the stream. I saw you flinch a little bit. You thought we had Scott Walker on, didn't you, Rick Smith? Our next guest, our friend in labor, our friend in broadcast, Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, Rick.
I'm good, Kirk. Dom, good seeing you guys.
Yeah, you too, man.
That'd have been a hell of a book. I don't think Scott Walker's ever coming on this show.
No. Look, I saw him give an interview and he said something along the lines of, you know, in Washington, you know, workers have gotten screwed by politicians in Washington. And I'm like, you know, this coming from the guy who was one of the worst offenders in screwing workers, it's almost like a serial killer saying crime's too high.
You know what's even richer than that, Rick? Scott Walker got interviewed and he's talking about how Republicans are going to win over labor.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to be honest with you. You know, I think Teamsters General President Sean O'Brien gave them an opening. You know, as I've been saying everywhere, O'Brien is now Trump's dancing show pony that they're going to ride all the way to the election. And sadly, you know, by his presence there, he legitimized Trump's horrible labor record from his 4 years, and also softly went after Joe Biden, who has been the most pro-labor president, at least of my lifetime, if not since FDR. So I thought it was counterproductive. I thought it was bad. Look, he said some good stuff, but it doesn't overshadow the Trump's a tough SOB and, you know, all that. He's got courage or whatever the hell else he had to say.
Rick, what about the strategy of it? I mean, certainly the membership of the Teamsters, or they have a varied political backgrounds and desires and things that they want. Not everyone thinks the same thing. He'll presumably be going to the DNC as well. I mean, should labor be reaching out to all political stripes?
Yes, just not in an environment that's meant to make Donald Trump president. Understand what conventions are. They're a giant pep rally to get your guy elected. So if you're going into that arena, you know that you're being used for that purpose. Yes, Sean O'Brien said some really great pro-labor stuff that the people in the room didn't want to hear. And you know what? They're going to forget it tomorrow. What they're going to remember is the guy was there. So, hey, there you go. Donald Trump's got labor support and one of the biggest labor unions in the country. So for me, I think strategically it was a mistake. And it also, I think, drives a wedge in the House of Labor. I also think that it's causing a division within the Teamsters organization itself. I don't know if you saw the tweet that went out after O'Brien, you know, tweeted out a Josh Hawley article. There's some dissent within the House.
Hmm.
Rick Smith, our fine guest, he is a Teamster. He is a broadcaster, but Teamsters, those are the truck drivers. They deliver all the stuff we use. This was a strange choice, and it seems like, and if I understand prior reporting, the Teamsters have started financially supporting the RNC. And, you know, I know there are plenty of lobbying groups out there, and the Teamsters, just like any other group, any other organization, they maybe cede both fields, cede both sides of the aisle. But this is a change, is it not, Rick? They didn't used to give money to Republicans, did they?
Not a lot. They have endorsed Republicans in the past, and they have given money to Republicans in the past. That's not unusual. For me, it's you know how bad Donald Trump's record is. You know how bad he was to you the first time around. You know that he put a Supreme Court justice in Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, which made the final choice on the Janus decision, which has made, you know, people who represent public sector workers, their lives miserable, creating a no rights at work kind of agenda for the public sector. Also, you go through his National Labor Relations Board. Trump's national general counsel for the NLRB was a guy who was instrumental in firing the Patco workers back in 81. I mean, these people are decidedly anti-labor. And by being there saying nice things, oh, they sided with us on a piece of legislation that was in their best interest, and we should applaud them for that. I'm sorry, I'm just not buying. And this idea, there's an article in the Boston Globe that says that, you know, O'Brien was upset at Biden for not getting the PRO Act passed. And you go, you do realize there aren't 60 Democratic senators and no right. Republicans signed onto the PRO Act. None of these people you're heaping praise on put their name on labor's number one priority.
Rick, what about the, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did not Joe Biden, was he not instrumental in delivering relief for the Teamster pensioners, the union retirees, or do I get that wrong? I mean, how do you freaking forget that?
Well, what have you done for me lately? What was the comment that he made? I mean, honestly, that's what he said. This is different times. No, that was the Teamsters' number one legislative priority from the Obama year. Since 2012, they've been working on this. And Obama didn't do anything on it. Trump sure as shine didn't do anything on it. But Joe Biden picked up the mantle and moved heaven and earth to get that put in there to save multi-employer pension funds. Not just the Teamsters, but a lot of union pension funds that were in trouble. Because understand, the Republican assault on organized labor that's been going on since the Patco firings have decimated unions in their ability to keep their pension funds going. And what you have is a situation where they're struggling. Joe Biden gave them a backstop. And to me, that it's almost unforgivable to be in this situation and to have done that.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our friend Rick Smith, Teamster from the Rick Smith Show. Rick's always a pleasure. Do you think Sean O'Brien can save any face when he speaks at the DNC coming up next month?
He's not going to speak at the DNC. There's no way the DNC lets him speak, because if they do, then they've got to let Lee Saunders speak, then they got to let Randy Weingarten speak, then they got to let Les Shuler speak, then they got to let Jimmy Williams Jr. speak. They got to go through a whole line of people who have been supportive and been with Biden for several months now, a year now. So to have O'Brien be able to force his way in, I think would open a door. I don't think they're gonna let him speak. Because I don't think the Teamsters are going to endorse anyone. And no endorsement is an endorsement for Trump, in my view, because understand, O'Brien was at that convention there for a reason. And that's to give the appearance that Republicans have labor support.
Is there some money motivation behind this, some organization? What do you think the true motivation is? Rick, if not to get out there and espouse labor to the job creators. I mean, hell, Rick, they're the job creators. They'll tell you all about their job creation. If you're not going to speak to them, then and the DNC is not going to allow it. I mean, what do you do then?
Well, I think the Democrats have been very good here of late on labor issues. I think Joe Biden has been very good on it. And if we had more Democrats, maybe we could get something passed through. And look, I would love for there to be pro-labor Republicans. I would love that. I would love for us to be 30 years ago where there were pro-labor Republicans. In fact, in the House, I seem to remember there was a labor caucus on the Republican side of about 90 members that were in favor of prevailing wage and collective bargaining. That's been taken out of the Republican Party. That's gone. The platform does not say we want to encourage collective bargaining. This isn't the party of Eisenhower, who wrote a letter to his brother Edgar and said anybody who would come out against Social Security, unemployment, labor unions, the farm bill, they wouldn't be heard from. There are a few millionaires and Texas oilmen who think you can, but their numbers are negligible and they are stupid. Sadly, the Republican Party is run by stupid. And there aren't those good Eisenhower Republicans anymore. Sorry, gone. Would I like there to be? Absolutely. Now, from O'Brien's point of view, why would he go there? He got to say words. He got to look like a strong leader and taking it to the man. He got to say what I thought. Two-thirds of the speech was great. Has someone sold him on the idea that Trump's going to win and he's going to be the George Meany of this generation? Maybe. Was there a quid pro quo agreement during the Mag-a-Lago meeting back in January? Maybe. Because in that Boston Globe article, he seemed to think that under Trump, there could be a pro-act passed. Don't know how that's happening, but he seemed to think it in that article. So we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. I guess that's why we play the game, right?
That's right. Rick, the most pro-labor president ever, at least in your lifetime, as you say, President Joe Biden, getting lots of pressure from his debate performance, his age, and now we're here, reporting of Obama, perhaps behind the scenes, Jamie Raskin coming out, Adam Schiff yesterday. Some prominent Democrats are calling for perhaps the president to reconsider his position. What's your sense, Rick, and if he does decide to step back, who would you like to see? Who do you think supports labor the most?
Well, again, who would I like to see and who's possible to see are very different things.
All right. Both questions are applicable.
I would like to see Joe right now say that he's stepping down and Bigfoot Trump's speech. I would love to see that. It's probably not going to happen. look, I think Kamala Harris is next in line. That would be the easiest of transitions. Maybe pick up Pete Buttigieg to make a ticket. But I would love to see someone like Sherrod Brown. I'd love to see someone like Gretchen Whitmer. There's a bunch of people that I think could be very, very positive. Michigan has been an incredible state on leading on labor issues. They came in. They immediately got to work, undoing right to work. They restored prevailing wage. They did a lot of stuff very quickly to support working people. So for me, that could be very something very positive. But ultimately, you need a candidate. And look, I love Joe Biden. I think they've done a great job to this point. But you need someone who can deliver the punchline.
Our pal Rick Smith, for a few more minutes, delivering punchlines. Rick, what do you think the state of union labor is in our nation? Are we getting stronger or is it still dissipating, sir?
Understand, our labor laws are so badly broken and ossified that it's hard to get new bargaining units online. Right now, union curiosity is almost at an all-time high. People are looking for something to make their lives better. And I've always said, union job, better life. When I was a kid growing up in the projects in Cleveland, I saw a neighbor get a job at Ford and immediately their lives got better. Food at the end of the month, kids had better clothes, they got secondhand bikes, secondhand car, eventually they moved out. Life got better. That message of union job, better life is still relevant. And I think people with the inflation that's happening, the fact that employers haven't shown that they give a rat's behind, because what happened to all of that essential worker, frontline hero, what happened to all that rhetoric? It's all in the wayside. We want to go back to the way things used to be. You working people know your place and being desperate and usable. And I think people are going, hey, I remember that essential stuff. I'd like more of that, please. And I think that kind of empowerment is contagious. And I think the labor movement has a future ahead of them that is very good. If we can get some labor law reform, if we can get some help from people like at the NLRB, which Jennifer Abruzzo has been amazing. Again, look at the people that are around Trump. Look at the people that are around Biden. Hands down, the Biden crowd, worlds better.
Rick Smith, our fine guest, friend of labor. Rick, the state of Wisconsin announced today record employment. Never had more Wisconsinites working than we do right now. I believe we're near record participation rates. That's not a story I hear a lot on the news. Rick, do you think people are getting the financial message of the Biden administration?
No, there's no incentive for the business community to say how wonderful the Biden administration is doing. There's no incentive for right-wing corporate media to tell us that things are moving in the right direction. Everything that I see coming out of our mainstream media is, you know, everything's bad. The sky's falling. You know, basically what you're watching in that political theater event there in Milwaukee is what we're inundated with day and night. We can't pay our bills. The sky's falling. You know, we're on the recession is around the corner. How long have we been hearing that a recession's around the corner? It's like they want it. They keep talking about it as if the more they talk about it, they can will it into existence. And yet somehow we keep creating jobs. Somehow people still are able to put food on the table. And somehow this administration is investing in our infrastructure, in manufacturing, and doing some really great stuff that, you know, you're not hearing anything about.
Rick, final question. Will Joe Biden be the Democratic nominee in Chicago?
I got to tell you, I hope not. Look, at the end of the day, we need somebody who can deliver the punchline. I think Joe has been amazing and just fantastic, but it's time. You know, he's lost a step, and he needs to pass the mantle, do the kingmaker thing, and be the president emeritus who says, I'm going to be there if you need me.
Rick Smith, ultimately, you're the man. We're out of time, though, Rick. Really appreciate you coming around. Thank you for joining us. Friend of labor.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live from Milwaukee RNC MKE 2024. It is the last night of this party, but you can always join this political party, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, a friend of labor, a broadcast professional. He is Rick Smith from The Rick Smith Show, our friend. And you know, we had some other friends. We've made friends, German documentarians. They've been following me around for a couple months now, I feel like. You know, just a day here, a day there. We've interviewed with them, and they've been to the Madison studios, and they've been down on Brady Street with us partying at the RNC this week. And they came on up to the roof here, Dom. And when we were trying to interview Scott McCallum, the former Republican, some said MAGA governor, slow down, but anyways, as this film crew was here, and actually there was another film crew here, so we had like dueling film crews, and then the Coast Guard like tried to land their helicopter on the roof here next to us. Apparently they did not like all the people. They wanted it dispersed.
Too many people concentrated on the roof for the radio
That's
show.
One way to let you know.
Yeah,
apparently they were 50 feet off our bow. The U.S. Coast Guard letting us know. You know what? Talking about a shot across the bow. Scott Walker at the RNC this week. First and foremost, let me wanker. Above and beyond that, this guy is out there telling us how Republicans are the party of labor and unions. And this is the guy that stuck it to the private sector unions and the public sector unions. This guy hates workers. And this guy is doing interviews with our pal, Jesse Apoyan, claiming,
well, you remember how Ronald Reagan did it?
Let's play the sound. I know you've probably heard enough Scott Walker in your life, but
eat your broccoli.
Play it for the people. Cut one, please, Rich.
You know, the interesting thing, you saw him same night, earlier that night, there was another union president from New York who personally knew him from what happened after 9/11. And I'm glad to see there's a variety of voices out there. People forget sometimes some out in the there. National media like to say, oh, it's such a different party than Reagan. Sure. We know here in Milwaukee, Serb Hall, just a few blocks from here, a traditional union community, union part of the town of the city of Milwaukee. That was where one of Ronald Reagan's biggest rallies was. That's where the phrase Reagan Democrat was coined. Those were blue-collar union workers who knew that they were failing under Jimmy Carter, and they liked Ronald Reagan. He won a blowout election with 45 of the 50 states in 80 before he won even bigger in 1984. But Reagan Democrats are very much like blue-collar working-class Americans who today feel forgotten. and they see a champion now, not only in Donald Trump, but particularly after hearing about J.D. Vance's life, a guy who, like sadly a lot of people in this state, have family members with dealing with addiction to drugs, living in poverty. These are the people who feel forgotten, and Donald Trump, I think, makes a huge appeal to them. So to see someone like the Teamster's head, whether I agree with everything he says or every prescription he has for the future, is irrelevant to the fact that he's identified that his workers feel forgotten and Donald Trump can appeal to them.
This guy's idol, talking about the wanker's idol, Ronald Reagan, he's the guy that stuck it to the air traffic controllers.
Fired them all, yep.
Reagan Democrats. Anyways, we got a little more wanker sound.
We have one more cut. Why union workers should vote for Trump? Let's hear it from former governor, now president of the Young
Adolf's Foundation?
America's, Young America's Foundation.
I knew it was something like that.
Leader of the youth, supporter of unions, question mark. Cut number two, please, Rich.
Well, not only for Donald Trump, but I'd look back my 8 years. Mm-hmm. Construction workers made about 50% more than they did before I took office. So, you know, talk's cheap. People can talk all they want about slogans.
About 250,000 jobs?
Work, but more importantly, not just working, but working with higher wages. Americans had
like Foxconn,
not just only higher wages, but higher wages compared to cost when Donald Trump was president. I think that's the key. This is a guy who's a builder. I told him 8 years ago in Cleveland, the more he talked about how his father taught him how to build buildings, the more his kids talked about when he would go to construction type sites, he wouldn't talk to the managers and the bankers. He talked to the workers. That's the kind of person who understands who really builds America, not just buildings like this, but who builds America. It doesn't matter if they're union or non-union. Those workers are the people who, put it candidly, have gotten screwed a lot by the politicians in Washington. And Donald Trump,
guys like you,
I think, are going to be huge advocates for them, as Donald Trump has in the past.
Now, we were at the Wankinator's party in Cleveland in 2016 when he claims he talked to Trump and, you know, heard all about this enthralling life story that Trump always hangs out with the workers, which seems ludicrous to me because he claims to be a billionaire. He ain't hanging out with the lot guys. You know what I'm saying? But Scott Walker was the most depressed, droopy dog-looking son of a bitch I've ever seen at Tuskers on the River, Don, when we showed up at his party, and he was right down the bar, and I said, send him a drink, send him a drink. And you had too much human grace. You did not send the wanker a drink.
Send him a drink? I mean, it was his
tab. He was paying for the drinks. You should have sent him a drink. Put it on the Underhills tab. Anyways, I hear the wanker is now aspiring to a job in the Trump administration.
Oh, is he, though? Him? Not only him, Crudy. Also, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David E. Clark Jr. It's pitchfork and torches time in America.
I thought he quit his job to go work for the Trump administration. And 4 years later, he's like, you, the most gainfully unemployed guy I know.
Come on, man. Yes.
Does he do a podcast?
The sycophancy will continue. The devil's advocates will continue. We are live in Milwaukee, RNC, MKE 2024. Coming back with more of your phone calls. Folks, be patient, 844-967-2789. Also, we have some sound. I walked into the bowl last night, man, saw the convict, Peter Navarro. He was very excited. Also, some sound. Senator Tim Kaine talking about Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. She was speaking today as well. I think we should hear some from her, because her name has been in the news a whole lot lately as well. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates, 844-96-PARTY.